This text that CJ just read, this is Jesus's, it's his bitter farewell in Matthew, his closing angry rant to Israel. And he speaks to their stubbornness, how they reject the prophets. And he said, I've tried it all, but you just won't play along. Earlier he says, you know, hey, you refuse to get on board with what God is doing. We played the flute and you wouldn't dance. We wailed, but you wouldn't mourn with us. You just won't participate. You just won't get on board with what God's trying to do. You refuse. And so he predicts this destruction of the temple and this return in glory. But this morning, I really want to zero in on a statement he makes about himself and a statement he makes thus about who God is and about God's desire. He wants so badly, like a mother hen, to bring all his people in, to gather them, to make them his. He wants to care for them. He wants to protect them. He wants to provide for them. But they won't let him. He is saying, God, I love and care for you like a mom does. He has a motherly love for his people, if we're stereotyping. Because sometimes, you have to bear with me, this is a little bit of stereotyping here, but most of us probably view a motherly love and a fatherly love a little different. And it varies depending on what kind of house you grew up in and what kind of parents you had. You know, there's this kind of an older stereotype of fathers is that, you know, they're strong, they're stern, you know, they're the ones, they're more serious. They're the ones who do the spankings, you know, they're the tough ones. And so sometimes maybe that's how we view God when we call him father. I really feel like the stereotype of dads is changing now. It's a little bit different. You know, you watch TV, watch sitcoms. The dad's the buffoon, right? The dad's the one who makes the dad jokes. He's the fun one. He's the not a serious one. And so there's kind of these different connotations we have to dads now. But maybe we think of a mother as warm, tender, softer, more nurturing. Again, maybe that's not always fair. Maybe the dad's like that. Maybe the mom's not. But generally, these are kind of the way we view these. And I want to tell you this morning, God is both. God is both those things. He has all of those qualities. He is strong but tender. He is tough but nurturing. He is like a loving father, but he's also like a loving mother. And that's really important. That's really important. You need both. The other day, I came up to school to pick up a kid. They were having a rough day, and I pick him up, and they get in the car, and the first thing they say is, "Could mom not pick me up?" And for a split second, it kind of hurt. It kind of cut just a little bit. Like, well, daddy's here. I can help. But then that quickly changed to, I love that that's the kind of mom my kids have. I love that she's on my team. I love that they have that relationship. I love that they can, that she can support them in a way that I can. I love that we can kind of complete each other as a parenting team like that. And so that's good. And so they were all also probably like, is mom here? Because you're probably going to use this in a sermon. It's kind of good evidence there that sometimes we need a dad, and sometimes we need a mom, and some for different things in life. And God provides both of those, and that's important. For some of us, the idea of a dad may not be approachable at all, or the idea of a mom may not be approachable at all. God is kind of both of those things. He provides both of those things and both of those kinds of love. And so I want to explore this morning the ways that God and Jesus have kind of given us this motherly love. And so something interesting I see with this, the mother hen analogy, is that mothers gather people together. Love gathers people together. It's a loving thing to do. I mean, even this morning, right? I see more family here. Siblings get together to celebrate moms. Jesus says, I want to gather these people under his wing. And you see multiple Old Testament references to this, where God wants to bring people under his wing. He wants to give them comfort. He wants to give them protection, but he wants them together. We recently celebrated my grandmother's life and her passing. And one thing all the family kind of talked about is that we gather together as a family for her. Yeah, I love my grandpa. Yeah, I love my cousins. Yeah, I love my siblings. But you go because grandma wants you there. You go because she's the one gathering everybody. And so we tried to make this pact. Hey, we're still going to gather. We're not going to quit gathering because she's gone. We want to honor her memory by still gathering together. And I've noticed it with the loss of my mom. It's our family doesn't get together as much as we probably should. And because moms gather people. And I think that's a loving thing we don't really notice or think about a lot. But loving like Jesus means bringing people together. Look, that wasn't the only thing he did. You know, sometimes he worked with people one-on-one, but ultimately he connected people. He created community. I mean, he started the church. He got the 12 together. He sent the 72 out in pairs. He set the example of acceptance and love, which created an attitude of welcome, created an attitude of community. As a youth minister, I used to want to have a meaningful interaction with every kid that came into the door. And I think that was really important. It's really important for kids to have meaningful interactions with adults. And so I used to always try to make that a point. And at some points it got to where I can't do that. And as an adult minister now, it's I can't do that. But then I kind of realized it's actually really important, maybe more important, to make sure these people are connecting with each other. They don't all have to connect with me, but they need to come in here and they need to connect with somebody. And so I want to build these bridges. I want these people meeting each other and hanging out and developing relationships. I don't want them all to myself. I want them to connect with each other. And so it is a loving thing to do, to create a healthy, loving community, to help others build relationships. So I believe it's good love and good leadership. It's good leadership to connect people. Have you ever had two different friends from different parts of your life? Like a high school friend and an adult friend? Or cousins in a different town, and then they meet each other. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool when two friends from different areas of life meet each other and they hit it off? And you're like, dude, I knew you guys would like each other. That's a cool feeling. If you've ever been there, you've been blessed. You got good people in your life. That's a cool thing. But I'll say this: the opposite is generally true. Isolating people is generally not loving. Making people feel alone is generally not loving. Pulling people away from other relationships so that you can have them all to yourself is generally not loving, even if it's meant well. And I saw, this was something else I saw, I see it in youth ministry and I see it in adults, is sometimes there's this big healthy group of people and they're all getting together and it's a good thing. But then there's one person who's like, hey, don't go be in that group. Come over here with me. We don't need them. They're weird, or they're dorks, or we don't like them. Or maybe it's a self-conscious thing. I'm not comfortable in that group, and I can't go, so I'm going to pull you out of the group, and we're going to go over here. And I get that. I understand that mindset. But don't be someone who pulls people away from the group. Don't pull them away from a healthy and good group where God's working and doing things. We need to be community builders, not pulling people out and making our own little isolated groups or our own little isolated pairs. And again, I don't think the people who do that are evil or anything. And it's probably, maybe it's insecurity that's driving that. Maybe it's a feeling of superiority that's driving that. But it's dangerous. Don't pull people from the group. Don't isolate people. If you are in a relationship where you feel like someone is discouraging all of your friendships and community, it could be a loving thing because maybe it's a dangerous friendship or a dangerous community. That's possible. But a lot of times it might be a semi-abusive relationship, pulling you away, isolating you. I want you all to myself. Sounds loving, but it can be very toxic. It's controlling. So I think it's important to realize there are some needs, and I'm thinking mostly in marriage relationships, but in all relationships, that other people can meet in your friends. There are some needs that other people can meet in your spouse. And I want to be that person to I want to be everything you need to be to my closest friends and to my spouse, but I also need to realize, well, you know, Jonathan Cogburn, that's more his department. You know, go talk to him. There's other friends here. There's other people that can help you with these things. I don't have to be everything for you. And I'm so glad that people like that are on my team. I'm so glad you have friends like that. Go hang out with them. Go be with them. So a good love that builds community, it encourages other relationships. Yeah, go hang out with the guys tonight. Yeah, go do that. Have space. Build those other relationships. Don't be jealous of a spouse's friend or a friend's friend. Encourage those other relationships. Be glad your friends have other really close people in their lives. It's a good thing. Let's be community builders. And I'll say this, at its worst extreme, Satan, evil, wants to isolate. Man, that's a sad place to be when you feel isolated. You have no one else. You feel totally alone. I really think that's where you can become depressed, go down a dark path mentally, and really think that, I think that's where evil does its most work. In your loneliness and isolation, when you feel unwanted, when you feel unloved. That is a danger. That is the extreme opposite of what I'm talking about, of this community building. To create a place of welcome makes people feel as though they belong. That's what Jesus did. That's what moms tend to do. And that is a loving thing, a love that gathers people. But the mother hen analogy, it also speaks to this protective, nurturing nature of moms, but also of Jesus and also of God. Not that men can't do that. Men can be very protective. But there is a mom-like love that provides a safe space physically, but also mentally and emotionally. When I was a kid, I knew I could approach my mom about whatever. I could go to her. She was a safe space. I told my mother-in-law recently that she was just what we needed in our darkest times in our life. She was everything we needed. There was no judgment. That's a high honor. It's a high honor for a good mom. It's a really high honor for a mother-in-law. But in moments where she could have judged us and told us how wrong we were, she could have been mad at us. She knew we messed up. She didn't need to tell us. She just came in and helped. That was some good love. That was some safe love. It was protective, but it was just so safe. So God and moms give us this love that says, you're safe here. Your brokenness is welcome here. And it's not going to be used against you. You can say or do what needs to be done here. You can find healing. You can find a safe, non-judgmental accountability here. I believe God intended the church to be that kind of place. But I'll also say this. It's good to be protective. It's good to be nurturing. But you can do it too much. You can be a little too nurturing. You can be babying. You're babying people, you're not doing them any favors. You can be controlling. And so it's a hard one to navigate, right? At what point does my protective love become babying or controlling? It's hard to know. It's hard to know where the line's at. But Jesus is showing us a balance here. He's got this desire to gather his people. He wants to gather Israel. He wants to nurture them. He wants to protect them. He wants them to be together. But he's also given them a freedom to choose. I want to protect you. I want to gather you in, but you won't let me. He's not saying, I want to gather you and I'm going to make you. I'm going to take away your free will and you're going to have to come in. You're going to have my protection. He's not that controlling. I want this, but you won't let me. He's not going to force them. And many reject him because he will not force them. He will not be that controlling. And so we all want to protect those we love, but we can become so protective that becomes controlling or abusive, even if it's well-meaning. And this is something that's helped me to understand controlling people. Sometimes there's controlling people that really bug me. It's like, oh, that drives me nuts. But then sometimes I can see behind that is a love. They're trying to protect the people they love. That's why they're being controlling. It doesn't make it okay. It just makes it easier for me to not be mad at them for it. And I think there's just a line, and they've just gone a little too far. And so that helps me kind of put up with them, is knowing, well, it's actually out of a place of love. But at some point, we have to let the line out a little bit, or else that protective love doesn't feel like love anymore. It feels domineering, it feels controlling, it feels abusive. That kind of love, a controlling love, will be resented. And so it's interesting. I think there's a lot of us probably in here who are mad at our parents for being too controlling. But then we're mad at God for not being controlling enough. That's interesting. We want God to swoop in and do everything, but our parents, stay back, jerk. But there's much in this world I don't want my kids to experience. Oh, the thought of them having their heart broken, getting dumped. Ugh. The pain, physical pain, rejection, exclusion. Oh, I don't want them to feel that. Being called ginger boy, I don't want them to feel that. Loss. And a lot of that I really could prevent. I could prevent it. I could lock them up in my basement. I could chain them up. I mean, I'd have to get a basement first and I'd have to get some chains, but I could do it. And they wouldn't experience these things. But they'd miss so much beauty of life. They would miss so much joy and the pain and beauty that all gets mixed up in a life. They would miss all that if I'm just trying to protect them. It would not be a loving thing to not let them experience. And so I believe we have a God who balances this nurturing protection, but also giving us the freedom to make bad decisions, to reject him, and to experience pain. And I believe that is the best way, even though it's frustrating and we don't always get it, that's the best way to love others, to love our friends, to love our spouses, to love our kids. Sometimes parents got to let the kids make the bad decision, right? At some point, a little bit. You know, I'm not saying like, just let them do hard drugs for a little bit. They'll figure. I'm not saying that. But there are places where you just need to let the line out. Dude, in middle school, my parents watched me walk out of the house wearing JNCOs. Do you guys know what JNCOs are? They're like jean skirts on each leg. That's horrible. But they just let me do it because they're like, look, he's got to make his own decisions. We got to make some space for self-expression. This is the only way he'll learn. But if you're taking people's freedom and their choice and their self-expression, they won't feel loved, even if you are doing it out of a place of love. And so it's hard to find that balance. But you see Jesus having that balance right there. So I wanted to gather you in, but you just won't let me. But we have a God who has a fatherly love for us and a motherly love for us. And to me, that makes him so much more. Sometimes that is so much more what I need. It makes him so much more approachable. He shows us a love that creates community, that protects and nurtures, but also gives some freedom. And that's a nice picture of a good, healthy love that should not be resented. A love that feels good to have and accept, but also a love for us to emulate. Let's be people who build community, who connect people, who gather people, who are a people of welcome. And let's care and protect and hold accountable, but also give people the space to make their own decisions, to have different beliefs, to do things in a different way than we would. If you're here this morning and you want to make a decision today about God, if you want to give your life to this God that transcends gender, that transcends the brokenness of this world, we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.